This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 127. Santa gave me his O face. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to our post-holiday festivities podcast.
Happy belated Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa Hanukkah.
Cuss. Christmas Hanza Kwanakus.
Cuss.
Because you gotta get Festivus in there as well.
Yeah.
You can't throw out the Festivus.
No.
People don't like it when you throw it out.
I know, I'm kind of mad that I forgot it now. Bad panda.
Bad panda. No, bend over, I spank you.
Wait, bad.
That's another podcast.
That's fun.
Yeah. Hem. Well, before we can have too much fun, we definitely have to take care of business.
Okay.
So you gotta keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is...
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. Like she said, the short address will bounce you to the long one. You can check any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, or just questions for us, you can use the hit us up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there first. Or you can put us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and if you're one of the cool kids, you can find us on the All Games Network.
You can find the ESH podcast, like she says, on the All Games Radio Network, airing Monday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. That's allgames.com. You can listen to our show, which you really should, because...
we're awesome!
And freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
But you can also check out some other freaking hilarious and awesome shows on the All Games Radio Network, like the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
How about DPL?
Ultimate Quest.
Super Happy Funtime Show is pretty cool.
I mean, there's just all Chatterbox. I mean, there's all kinds of great entertainment over there. So definitely, allgames.com, just like electricsisterhood.com, should be one of your destinations of choice.
Just bookmark it. It makes it easier.
Bookmark it, bitches!
Yeah!
Okay, so with that said, I think we can kind of jump into the episode.
I think so.
And what's neat about this episode is that it's one of the few where Panda and I are actually sitting side by side right now.
We are together as one.
We are
in a non-Yowie-Yuri way.
Exactly. We are in the same space.
She's on my bed, guys.
I wasn't going to go there.
It's comfortable. I don't mind talking about
it. It's damn comfortable, but again, you have to keep in mind our audience in there. Wicked, devious little imaginations. Yeah, I'm looking at
you. Hey, had to give him an Easter egg. Had to give you guys an Easter egg.
But it's not even Easter.
Yeah.
You're projecting a bit.
Damn, I'm a little too ahead of my time.
You are.
Damn.
Easily said.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I know.
Okay, moving on. So, I'm actually going to take the mic a little bit because I have a couple of things I want to talk about. And one of them kind of intersperses with some of your stuff, so...
Okay!
The first thing I wanted to talk about, since it's after the holiday, is to let people know whether or not I got what I wanted for Christmas. And to prompt people to let us know if they got what they wanted for Christmas. Or if they got something cool that they didn't even know that they wanted, but now that they have it, you're like, oh my god, I had to have that. So, first of all, yeah, I totally made out like a bandit.
Yes, she did.
For the holiday.
Lucky bitch.
I've got a great new stand coming from the Harmonix Rock Band Shop from my drums, because that's how I like to kick it.
Boom, boom.
I've pretty much mastered as far as I'm going to be able to go on Guitar Hero and Rock Band. Pretty much hard with a few experts is where I've kind of maxed out.
Yeah, you just had to gloat, don't you?
I'm not gloating, I'm just throwing it out there. So now I'm trying to make my mark, my newest conquest, is the drums.
Are you kidding me?
No, because here's why. I had a bad fracture on my foot, so it's been really difficult for me to do double taps, and I realized that I'm just not sitting at the right height my drums. Don't even fucking go there.
I didn't. I'm just laughing.
In order to really progress well on the drums. So I figured that out that my couch is too low and my coffee table is just a tad bit too high and also unsafe.
And she's vertically challenged.
Why do you have to throw that in there?
I thought that was a polite way of saying
it. No, it's not. You just can't keep your mouth shut.
No.
No, well, that's true. You can't keep your mouth shut.
That's, you know...
Yeah, you were going to say it. You were going to say
it. Nope.
Good. So, I've got an adjustable throne, basically, I'd like to call it, coming in for Christmas. Should be home by the time I get home, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Lucky.
Because I want to conquer the rock band on the drums on the hard.
That's what he said.
That is, you are so right. You've been having this joke all week long.
It's been fun.
It just, it won't die. It just, nope. it doesn't get old.
Nope.
No. So I've got that coming in, and I've also got a rack to hold my guitars coming in.
That's what she said. I can't help it.
Oh, it's going to be that kind of episode.
You.
Yeah.
You know I couldn't help that.
You could
have. You said rack. Rack girl, rack boo. Come on, you know it.
Yeah.
I couldn't, I could not contain.
You could have tried.
In my mouth.
You could have. That's what she said.
Oh,
good lord. Okay.
Oh, this is going to be a fun show.
Yeah. Anyway, so I've got the rack coming in to hold the guitar stand.
Right. I stopped.
And the best thing is that I also have a set of those ion drums, the USB drums, that you can use either as just music-making drums in any of your popular computer-based music-making applications.
Wait a minute, is that drum kit that when we talked about the pre-Christmas show that you thought you really, really wanted but you knew you weren't gonna get?
Yeah, that one.
You got that?
Yeah, I got that.
You're a lucky bitch.
I am ridiculously lucky.
Santa loves you.
Yeah, let me tell you what. You give Santa a little bit of the old BJ accent and bam! Yeah, I said it.
Yeah,
I
Santa went ho, ho. Oh! Oh! Oh, face!
Santa gave me his O face.
Oh my god, that's disgusting.
He's like, oh.
He was saying ho, ho, ho backwards. Anyway.
Yeah. So, got all that stuff.
Mind your children, we're not condoning that you blow Santa for
that's
presents.
That's right. Do not... Children under the age of 18 should not perform oral sex
on Santa. Or anyone.
Or anyone. This is true. And that's a PSA from ESH.
Which is very hard to come by. And that's what he said.
You know. Oh, this is going to be such a bad episode.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be fun.
So, got all that stuff. Got all the gift cards that I wanted for the places that I wanted to get
and
stuff
from. Some additional ones.
And some additional ones that people forgot about.
Oops, my bad.
But finally remembered, so I got those as well. So
good morning! Here's a present we forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I like getting free stuff every day. I think every day should be receive free shit from people day.
Yeah.
So that's going to come in handy and got some stuff to pick up some additional movies, which is always good. Always a good gift.
Uh-huh.
So definitely had a great holiday, and I'm looking forward to playing some of the stuff that picked up, especially for Rock Band, but... also waiting for me at home is a copy of Dark Knight on Blu-ray.
Oh.
Bitchin' with digital copy. Oh. Double bitchin'.
Do I get that one?
I said, it's Black Knight with digital copy. Why on earth would I want to give up my digital copy that I can put on my iPhone to give to you, who I already gave, correct me if I'm wrong, a plethora of stizoffs?
Because you're my sister and you love me and The Dark Knight is awesome and you should share it with people that you care about.
Yeah, but I paid for my
you're
copy.
You're getting it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, and then I get it on digital copy so I can have it on my iPhone and on my iPad.
You have to watch
Dark
Knight
on
your
TV.
Eye. Fine.
So I can take it around.
Okay, I get it.
On all of my devices. So that way when I'm sitting on the train, I can watch Dark Knight and be like, Dead Heath Ledger. Oh.
That is just nasty.
But I'm honest about it.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you.
Okay.
Plus, this is going to be the first time that I've ever had a movie with digital copy.
All right.
So I'm going to be interested
It's new and exciting.
Well, and I'd be interested in seeing how the digital copy thing actually works. how easy it is to
do
get it. Because I don't know if that's something that rips off the disc or if it's a download that you get or what. So I'm interested in seeing what all those mechanics are about.
Right.
So you guys will probably see a story about working with digital copies here shortly up on the website, which will be cool. But also, Prince of Persia, something I'm looking forward to playing. That should be awaiting me when I get home as well. Lovely Christmas gift. Because I'm a huge Prince of Persia fan, so
yes,
I'm looking forward to it.
We've talked about it several occasions in the past.
So, yeah, I can definitely say that I got everything I wanted for Christmas and definitely was surprised by some of the things that I picked up. But I was also kind of surprised with some of the news that I've seen over the past few days. Well, I really should say this week, especially in the gaming area, but just around in general entertainment. If you don't know by now, which if you're listening to our podcast, you should probably be somebody who's up on the news and whatnot, but Eartha Kitt did pass away.
Oh, no.
Of cancer. Really disappointed to hear that. Eartha Kitt was one of my favorite TV stars. Loved her in the original kitschy Batman. I thought she was the best Catwoman. She was perfect. Absolutely loved Eartha Kitt. She was just so out there and crazy and didn't really give a fuck, and I really admired that.
Was she the one with the whip?
All Catwoman
have whips. Okay.
But, Eartha Kitt was just an amazing, amazing entertainer, and she will definitely be missed. So that was something that was really, not a happy thing.
No.
Over the holiday to see.
And now they'll need a new Yzma on, the Emperor's New School.
Yeah, they're gonna need a new Yzma, because,
She did that voice. And I watched that on Saturday mornings, because I'm a noob.
I watched the movie, actually.
I hated the movie.
The movie was just so wrong, but yet I loved Yzma's character.
I liked Yzma's character.
Probably because it was Eartha Kitt.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. So that was a sad thing to hear, and like I said, she will definitely be missed. But I also heard some other news that kind of really surprised me. I keep, or at least try to keep, a running list of upcoming games that I'm interested in and that I think you guys will be interested to hear about, both from a female perspective, meaning us.
Well, we hope you want to hear about it from hot females like,
us. Oh! So hot. Ow.
Break some eggs on me. I'll make some eggs Benedict. Scrambled eggs?
I don't want to know how you scramble eggs on you. I don't want
ever seen the ping pong trick?
I don't want... Dude, do not make people think that you have a ping pong trick.
No, I have an egg trick.
Dude, you're just asking for DPL rape.
They've already raped me.
They're going to do it again.
I'm just willing now. There is no fight in me anymore.
Oh, my God. It's just... Oh, I'm not even going to talk about it. Okay. So, anyway.
I shouldn't have said that on air.
What's really... No, you should not have. What's really interesting is, with the economy doing what it's doing, I've been curious to see, or to wait and see, really, what happens with a lot of games that are slated to come out and, you know, with a lot of smaller and even mid-size development houses kind of going under or putting up for sale signs, and people jumping ships to other companies or just leaving the industry in general to see how that all turns out. And so the CEO or VP, I can't remember, and I didn't print out my notes, so I apologize, but one of the big wigs over at Silicon Knights is jumping ship and is looking to do something different, and that's kind of huge to me. Because Silicon makes some really spectacular games, and so for somebody that high up to jump ship at this point is kind of interesting. But one of the games that was on my list of upcoming titles that I thought would be great for us to kind of earmark as an ESH special was a game from AQ Interactive called Cryon, which...
Do you cry?
No, but it was a action RPG that was very much done in your typical RPG style, so it was very anime in its design.
Okay.
And a lot of the characters were very moe in their design, so mm-hmm. I thought, oh, this will be perfect for us to cover, and the story seemed very deep. Well, AQ sent out a press release and basically said that they're not releasing the game.
Why?
And I'm not really, really sure.
Is it because it's going to suck?
No, it wasn't because it was going to suck. Basically, they blamed the economy and what's going on right now and not wanting to utilize the existing resources that they had on a game that may not actually build a franchise, which is really, really killer to me because Miss Walker was doing the game, and they're the company that did Blue Dragon, and I enjoyed Blue Dragon, which was the RPG.
That looked like Dragon Ball Z.
Exactly. So I was really looking forward to this game as well because I like the storytelling and I like the action play of that game, and you guys know I am not an RPG fan.
No, she's not.
By any stretch of the imagination.
That would be me.
That would be Panda. So, for me to be excited about Cryon was, like,
holy amazing.
Shit, what the fuck? And now it's not coming out. And
holy fuck nuggets, Batman!
And there are a lot of other games, and by a lot, I mean about 6 other titles, that are definitely on the ropes, and we were all aware what happened with the Ghostbusters game, and now that Atari's picked it back up and it looks like it's going to hit the shelf, you know, I'm really curious to see how many games that are either hopeful franchise starters or the third in the streak of a franchise or fourth or fifth, you know, not necessarily having to be cash cows, how many of those titles are going to happen and how many of these companies are going to remain around. I mean, there's more rumors flying around again of a lot of, especially around Take-Two, being bought or buying someone up, or a lot of conglomeration happening around in the industry. And I'm just kind of curious what you think about this apparent major restructure of the industry. Because you have a lot of houses that were slightly independent, if not completely independent, now look like they're going to be under the big banners of EA and...
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what I think about that. I mean, times are hard on everyone. I mean, I guess it's slightly humbling to see gaming companies feeling the same strain that a normal everyday person is probably feeling in their wallets. But I'm kind of worried that a lot of artistic stuff and a lot of setbacks are going to happen that are going to make games that are being promoted with such a bigger hype for certain things are not going to hit, which means there's going to be a decrease in fans, one, you know, enjoying their games. And I think a lot of gamers are going to be really upset and there'll be a lot more complaining than we might already have. So I guess I'm upset to hear that. I'm upset to hear that people are going to start pulling back projects because of the fact that they might not have that staple money that lets them push forward even in this time of strife. But who knows? Maybe if things turn around and we flourish again, that maybe with this setback, a bigger, better flourish of, you know, advancement might happen. So I guess I'm just going to sit, eat some popcorn, and see what unfolds.
I mean, I hope that at the other end of this, we wind up with more creativity and we wind up with bigger and better stories. What my fear is, very much like yours, is that stuff will be sacrificed for bottom line, like you said. That's a big concern that I have. And my fear is that now games that have done marginally well in the past are not going to get greenlit or get the kind of attention that they deserve.
Like, promotions will probably be very lax, and I'm not, you know, like the great trailers, I think, will be set back to, you know, where you don't see any gameplay to just being CG, which is not bad. I'm not denouncing CG.
Right.
But, you know, for a gamer, it's not about just how flash it is. We want to know about the controls. We want to know what it feels like, and when you don't give us that, then we blindly put money into something, and then when the game mechanics suck, well, then we're pissed.
Or we don't blindly put money into anything anymore.
Yeah, and then we sit there and we wait for someone who does blindly play it to review it, so then we know if it's something that we're going to put our money in.
And I think that that's going to create a backlash that'll hurt the industry on the other end.
Yep, I can feel it right now.
You know, I don't think that you'll have as many things that are experimental. I think that
everyone will play it safe.
If everyone uses the banner of, oh, well, times are tough, so, here's what we know, let's bank on the staples, then all you're going to see are rehashes of existing games, which is not fun for anyone.
No.
I mean, a classic title, maybe, like a Mega Man. A Mega Man never gets old.
No, even though people love Mega Man. He is not going anywhere.
And I love Mega Man, but I also love Devil May Cry, but if you just rehash the last Devil May Cry game, I'm going to be bored as fuck.
Well, no offense, if you look at the Devil May Cry games, I mean, it's essentially fight a whole slew of bosses, go into an alternate dimension, fight them all backwards, and then fight the big boss.
Well, but that's been a mechanic all the way around.
Yeah, so that's nothing new
to us. The thing that's propelled the Devil May Cry series has been the story and the fact that the character is one that girls think is ridiculously sexy.
Yeah.
And so they don't mind watching or playing.
No.
And guys, he's just such a little badass that they don't mind playing because he can align.
And there's always some hot babe in the game who's always following him.
Exactly.
So you kind of feel like hot babes want your sweet, manly
sausage. But at the same time, you know, if you were to take a game, let's say like a Budokai game, the only people that are going to pick that up and run with it are going to be the people that enjoy Budokai. I mean,
When you say Budokai, do you mean Budokai Tenkaichi?
Yeah, Tenkaichi. Do you remember any advertising for the third game?
Which one was that one? Was that Budokai Tenkaichi?
Yeah, Budokai Tenkaichi 3. There's like three Tenkaichi games.
I only remember the first one because they always played the same sequence of Goku going Super Saiyan and fighting in the air, which was apparently a new mechanic at the time.
So I'm very afraid that the banner of times are hard is going to get used in order to say, you know what? Let's not take a chance on this thing. Let's go with the staple.
Kind of like the girls' line where guys are like, hey, let's go out. They're like, oh, I can't. I have to wash my hair.
Well, more like, hey, I work at Walmart, so my check really isn't as big as I like to pretend. So when your date went to pick you up and you thought you were going out to eat steak and turn around, you went out to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because it was a sure thing. It wasn't going to be over $15.
Ooh.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Is that you'll see a lot of people betting on the sure thing, eating up a lot of other companies, and we're going to lose some of the individuality that's been really popular.
Okay.
I'm hoping that to balance that out, that there'll be more put into community games, but I'm afraid that that's going to be something that might immediately go, well, let's not invest in the space of putting up these games, and, well, let's not invest in, you know, making this viable, because we're not really making money off
of
this.
Yeah, but that could potentially end up being the end of cool games as we know it.
And that's why I'm scared.
I don't like
this. I'm scared, Pandalicious.
I don't like this, Ninja Sister. I don't like this at all.
Well, because, I mean, if you look historically, every time that things have economically been any kind of issue or things have been tough, the first thing that always suffers is the creativity.
Yep. Arts always gets booted in the ass first.
Always the artist. And I'm very, very afraid of that because we've had such great
work,
production, and such great work and such a boom in the industry over the last year that I'm afraid that now in the economic downturn that it'll be used as an excuse. And don't get me wrong, I realize that times are hard. I can definitely understand companies having a need to downsize with the amount of tasks that they do or having to scale back or but please, please try whenever possible to not kill a game. I don't care if I would have to wait 8 more months
for a game, but don't kill it.
But don't kill it. I'm not going to be happy that's been pushed back, but I would much prefer a pushback than a death knell.
Euthanizing games is wrong!
Euthanizing games is wrong!
I don't like it! Stop it! Right now!
Yeah. So, I'm really upset about Cryon, and I'm going to keep an eye out for some of the other titles to see what else falls by the wayside, because, like I said, I'm very scared. I think that there's going to be a bunch of things over the next few months, especially since things did not go well over the holiday as far as a lot of big sales companies. Not a lot of electronics going around. Because electronics are expensive, and when you're not sure if you got a paycheck coming next week, you might not decide to spend that grand on that computer and that bigger processor.
Nope, you might spend it on stuff you need, like oil, electricity, maybe some water. Food! Food's pretty big.
I mean, there's even been some stories that there's been more people purchasing gift time for people for WoW, like their monthly subscriptions. Yes. Because some people know that otherwise people are going to not be able to keep their subscriptions.
Yep.
And cutting back and budgeting wherever possible. So I think that, you know, the next 3 months, next 4 months is really going to be a trying time for the industry. I think that you'll probably see some web institutions also go down.
Oh no, say it isn't so!
Yeah, I mean, you know, anything that's subscription-based, that's the first place that people are going to
feel cut back that money. Hit.
So, keep an eye out. I'm going to try and keep a running list of all of this stuff that I see and come across, and I'd love to know your take. I'd love to see your ideas about what's going on in the industry. And if you catch something that I miss, definitely click on the Hit Us Up link on the website and let me know. I'm good, but I can't crawl the entire web.
We are all about conspiracies!
And so if you've got anything that pops up that you think is definitely story material or fits in, or is maybe something that I'm not aware of.
Or maybe you found some secret file behind your house underneath the doghouse.
I would totally like to know about that.
As long as it's not covered in poo.
Yeah, I don't want it if it's
wipe
covered
the poo
in
off.
Yeah, don't send us any shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want shit. Shit's
no
bad.
Shit.
Don't send us the shit. Only send us the good shit.
Yeah.
Duh shit, not mm-hmm. shit. Because there's a difference between the shit
indeed
and
there
shit.
Is.
So, definitely keep an eye out for that. And also, I have heard, I haven't seen it yet, but I heard that the spirit sucks. So you might want to save your money.
Oh my
god,
that hurts my soul!
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard it now from some reliable resources.
No!
I've heard it from 3 different...
No!
Yeah.
Damn it, 3? That's like the number that everyone goes to.
Yeah.
So, fuck!
I haven't seen it yet myself. I'm hoping to get into a screening of it after I get home. And I will let you know personally, but I've heard...
Oh, I can already hear you going, it sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's reverberating in my brain. I can hear it. Stop. No!
All we can do is hope that the Watchmen will cleanse
our palate. For Christ's sakes, man!
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Miller! No!
And the last thing that I have to talk about is I've also been hip to this rumor about the next Batman movie.
Uh-huh.
Which Christian Bale has already said, oh, hell yes, I'm on board for.
Awesome.
But there are rumors around the internet.
That?
The first rumor was that Johnny Depp was going to be the Riddler. And I was like, oh, hells to the yes.
And is this fact or crap?
Okay, so right now I think that this is still kind of in the area between fact or crap. And so the only reason why I say that is because in an interview that he did... while he was doing, I think, one of the comic show circuits, he made mention of how he thinks it'd be really cool to play the Riddler because he's an interesting character and kind of mumbled it and dodged the question.
Did
a
the whole, bit. I'm Johnny Depp, I don't want you to know what I'm doing till you know that I'm doing it.
Exactly. I don't want you to know what I'm doing till I've signed the contract and I know I'm getting my money.
Right.
So, I was like, okay, that's great.
What about that Seymour Hoffman guy as the Penguin?
I've heard that as well.
Is that confirmed yet?
I haven't been able to find anything online that says for abso-friggin-lutely sure that it's confirmed. I mean, they don't even have a script yet for the third movie.
I know.
Christian Bale's just said, oh, hell yes, I will be Batman for as long as you want me to be Batman because I
enjoy
the character.
If they're going to keep him as Batman, can they give him a better Batman voice?
Well, here's the thing that everyone...
Because I'm getting sick of the...
But here's the problem with that. Everyone keeps forgetting. He has an accent. So he's trying desperately to mask his accent.
So barking
and
sounds
dark
equals...
And brooding.
So let's bark like a dog.
Well, he only does it when he's Batman and he's trying to be dark and brooding. And I think in his mind, he hears dogs. Maybe he has Rottweilers. They're kind of dark and brooding, so I could get that.
Low growls.
Yeah, definitely needs to work maybe with a vocal coach to get a better American...
bark growl?
Less of a bark growl, maybe more of just a conversational voice.
Yeah, some actual words would be nice.
I mean, because if you took a look at... Well, the boy has big teeth, too. Like, whenever he has the cowl on...
I know, I'd be so worried I'd bite my mouth.
I mean, seriously,
lips.
Like, whenever you looked at him when he had the cowl on, he'd just be like, teeth. Alfred. I was like, ugh. He's showing me his teeth. I guess that means he's angry. So I think that maybe some more time with a vocal coach would probably be slightly
and some
beneficial.
Throat lozenges.
Maybe some Sucrets. I'm gonna go with definitely probably maybe some Sucrets.
And some Earl Grey with some honey at night.
That would definitely help.
Would probably help with the low growl.
And if you're not sure how to make that, just come over to my house. I'll be more than happy to make.
I mean, you might be hungry. Are you eating in between sets?
Yeah, you should definitely eat.
Because it might
food.
Be your stomach coming out of your mouth,
and
that growl.
That would be bad. But I haven't seen anything confirmed. To me, it makes sense. Philip Seymour Hoffman as...
The Penguin would be so fucking awesome!
Well, because Philip Seymour Hoffman is a great actor. I just...
What?
I want them to cast it right, and I'm deathly afraid of them falling into the pattern like... the other Batman movies after the Michael Keaton ones, where they put too many villains into one movie.
So he's fighting too many at the same time, and it convolutes the story.
Well, because, you know, really for it to do successful, or be successful, I should say, it really needs to run no more than 2 hours at max. And so if you're going to do two villains, you've got to do two origin stories. You can't really do either one of them justice in under an hour.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I think that's the thing that really pushed things over the end. When you had Riddler and Two-Face, it was too much movie. Because there are too many stories and too many things. Even though they overlapped, they didn't really overlap. It was just too much. Then you did the same thing with Poison Ivy and Dr. Freeze. And I was just like, oh, please, shoot me in the head now.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid that's going to happen with other videos. And, you know, if...
What do you think about The Dark Knight, though, with the Joker and Two-Face?
But here's the thing.
Do you think that was too much?
You really
because
didn't...
you got an origin story of one, but they killed him off also
but
in that
you
movie.
Didn't really get an origin story of both.
Right, you got one, for
the,
sure.
The movie was really about the Joker, but we don't
we
know...
We didn't get an origin on Joker.
We only got an origin on Two-Face. So, even though... And Two-Face really didn't become... into play until about the last 20 minutes
of the movie, which
the
really
movie,
kind of
which
yeah.
was perfect. So you didn't have two origin stories going at the same time.
Okay.
So I think that The Dark Knight pulled it off well. If they were to follow the same type of formula, I don't know that would necessarily work well with the Penguin and the Riddler because they don't overlap. It was easy to overlap the Joker causing Harvey Dent to turn into
Two-Face.
Okay, you make the Joker blow one of them up and talk and now convince one to be the other. Yes, spoiler alert. That to me works.
If you didn't see it already.
Knowing the backstory for the Penguin and how Cobblepot becomes a Penguin, there's no easy way that I can figure out, just
for them
sitting
to do
here
it.
Right now, to either have the Penguin help create in some way the Riddler... Or vice versa. Because their stories are so different.
That's a good point.
Okay, Riddler was supposed to be, you know, like in the other movie, a character that worked for Wayne Industries that was brilliant, was done wrong if they're going to base it off of previous lore, and then as such, wanted to get back
at
Bruce Wayne and society in general.
No, wait, that was the Riddler?
Yeah.
But how does the Riddler know that Bruce Wayne is...
He doesn't.
Okay.
He worked for Wayne Industries and wanted to get back at Bruce Wayne. Had no idea that Bruce Wayne was Batman.
Okay.
So, I don't see how you could apply the same type of formula that
Dark
Knight
doesn't seem to work
for those two villains. And then, also talking about throwing Catwoman into the mix, now you've got three...
origin stories.
There's no way that you're going to pull that off in under 2 hours.
Can you link Catwoman to any of the other two?
It would be difficult because... Selina Kyle, I can't remember if she worked for Wayne Industries or not. I think they tried to make it like she did, but I don't think in the comic books that Selina worked for Wayne Industries at all. I think she worked for someone else. But it's too much to try and do in 2 hours.
Right.
I think that you can do a Batman versus one villain, set up a little bit of the origin of that villain...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And do that justice and have enough plot points moving forward. Maybe glance by a character that may turn into another. So you might want to do some foreshadowing of, you know, the upcoming villain. So you could have a battle, let's say, with Catwoman, and towards the end of that, have some kind of thing, much like they did with Two-Face, happen, that we wind up seeing a little glimpse of, something, let's say, a Penguin character, and know that, okay, upcoming, this is somebody, now that we've seen how he was done a wrong, or lost lady love, whatever, is now right. going to try to exact revenge. I think that you can set up additional villains down the road, but if you start doing two or three offs in a movie, you've only got then, really, as far as good villains, maybe another two movies in you before you've now run out of
topic. Plausible.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that it's a dangerous thing to try and do three villains. I really don't see how you can pull that off in a way that's going to be enjoyable and keep up with all the stuff that we've already been doing.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
So
You have me hook, line, and sinker on it. That makes a lot of sense.
I'm really curious to see when things finally get set in stone, who's going to be in it, who's writing it, and if Chris Nolan's still going to be attached to it.
Well, I guess we have to sit tight and find out.
Plus, they still have to figure out what they're going to do about Joker, because they didn't kill Joker, and I don't know...
Are there any other really hot Australian actors? I don't know
who you could possibly recast.
I don't think there's anyone who even remotely looks like Heath Ledger, let alone can act like Heath Ledger.
It's not even about looking like Heath Ledger, because, I mean, the Batmans were changed almost interspersedly after Keaton. You had Val Kilmer and George Clooney do Batmans, and so recasting happens, and that's not a problem. It's about, now that we've set up the Joker being so dark, I don't know who you could get
to
in this age group, because it is, you know, the prequel to the Batman that we all know and love.
Right.
The younger Bat. I don't know what actor that you have right now in that age group that you don't already identify with something else already.
With light and good, or emo and depressing, or they've all been typecast. Yeah.
That could then carry it off as dark. Because we now have a basis for the Joker being very dark. The pencil trick, yeah, boom. Very, very
dark.
That
was awesome, and that actually made me cringe.
But that was very dark. So, I mean, who are you going to get?
Yeah.
You got the guy that plays Lex Luthor off of Smallville, that Rosenthal.
Michael.
Rosenbaum, or whatever the hell his name is. Rosenthal. He can do dark, but I don't know that he's...
Can he do dark enough?
Exactly. And is he, for our grouping now...
Is he a little too old? Too old.
So, but you got to have somebody that can do dark.
So, do we go older Joker with the same type of dark intensity, or...
You can't do Elijah Wood because he's too soft in the face. Oh, God,
fuck no!
Even though he was fucked up as that character in Sin City, and can obviously do dark. But he didn't talk! Exactly. So, I don't know who in that age group you could get.
Not to mention, all the Lord of the Rings people would show up going, Frodo? But fuck no.
He can do dark. Not Tobey Maguire. And he's freaking Spider-Man. Anyway, so I mean, you know, you look at the talent that you have left, because they're going to want a name.
Oh, that's fucked. I don't think there's...
You know, they're not sure if they're going to be able to recast it or not, and...
Maybe new talent?
That's a really scary thing to place on the shoulders of a... Complete newbie. Unknown, especially cast around people like, if they do it...
Christian Bale and
Philip Seymour Hoffman, Johnny Depp, or the worst rumor that I've seen, Eddie Murphy as the fucking Riddler.
What?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm all for black people getting equality and things like that.
No!
The Joker is not black.
No!
And I don't want...
Yeah, exactly!
As the Riddler laugh. No! No!
Let Eddie Murphy play in movies where he's every character. Leave that man alone. Let Eddie Murphy
do that and nothing else.
What about, No, I've never seen Ewan McGregor do anything dark.
Yeah.
He's almost in the age group.
Yeah, but he's still going to be on the same edge as the guy from Smallville.
Yeah.
On that side of the stick.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
Then I'm just saying, because he hasn't been typecast as a hero yet, so...
Or well, villain. He has... He was freaking Obi-Wan Kenobi in the young Star Wars movie.
Oh.
You know, so you got that. And then, you know, I mean, on the same vein, I mean, you've got Jude Law, but Jude's a little bit
No, old. Judas. And Judas too sentimental.
You know, so it's just...
He's a softy. That would not work.
I don't
His
know.
His dark is emo. It's not badassery darkness.
So I don't know if you were to recast it, who you could do. If you
is
guys
it too
have
late to
thoughts,
resurrect Heath Ledger?
It's definitely too late. We missed the 3-day window.
Fuck!
Yeah.
What's with threes?
That's the way Trinity's
work. I don't like this.
So, if you guys have any thoughts on how you would recast the Joker, we'd love to hear it, because the Joker being Batman's
Clive
immortal...
Old?
Clive's old, though.
Oh, but he's
He can do dark! But
he's old.
He's older looking than Christian Bale. And you can't now have a Joker that's older than Christian Bale when you've already established that the Joker is the
What about
same-ish
that bad guy
age.
From the Charlie's Angels movie? That guy is dark. He's a little old looking in the face. But with paint on, you wouldn't see that.
Well, you know, it just depends. It just depends.
Now so, you got me thinking about this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Well, think about it. And if you guys think about it too, click the hit us up link on the website, electricsisterhood.com, and let us know who you would cast in the Joker. And please, please, please make sure to spell their names properly so we can look them up in IMDb and get the right imagery.
IMDb!
I love IMDb. And figure it out. So that's all my geeky
IMDb.
Christmassy, oh my god, please don't fuck these things up.
Yeah.
And here's what looks like it's about to be fucked up stuff. So with that, I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 troops, pass it over to Panda. What do you want to talk to the people about today?
Well, I think I want to share a little bit of a holiday story that happened to me.
To you?
In this season, yes.
This season,
this
okay.
This season.
I'm going to get all comfy and listen
yes.
to the story.
Snuggle up by the fake Amish fireplace that
this
Eshmom has downstairs.
That is not made
by the Amish.
Amish.
It's a lie. It's a ShamWow. Much like ShamWow.
Oh, ShamWow. I love them. And if you act now, we'll give you 2 ShamWows.
And a puppy.
Household ShamWows. Will you stop? We promising
and
puppies.
And puppies from the Amish country. That
Amish
mantles.
Puppies.
And Amish puppies that build mantles.
That build mantles.
Yeah. Anyway... So, I was involved in a Secret Santa this year with some of my more sophisticated adult, already graduated from college friends.
Ooh, they're sophisticated.
Oh, yes.
They spell their names in cursive.
Yes, they do. And it was really funny because everyone knows that I have a boyfriend. And the hosts of the Secret Santa were a couple that we tend to do a lot of dinner dates with. So we're the smug couples who always go out together in pairs. And outside of the Secret Santa, we each also bought presents for the couples. Which I thought was very funny because we had not known that the other couple was going to do it. And they didn't know that we were going to do it. So it was like, oh,
very... You're all such nice people.
It was so a better home and gardens moment, believe
Aww.
It or not. So we gave them, you know, wine and cheese. And some crackers and some grapes. For
was
little...
it stinky cheese?
No, it was Gouda. Smoked
oh,
Gouda.
Damn.
Yes. White people know about the cheese.
It's not just white people that
no,
know about cheese?
No, but I didn't know about Gouda and blue cheese and Munster cheese.
Yeah.
And Asiago.
Yeah.
Up until the boyfriend.
Okay.
You know,
well, you're missing out on a world of cheese.
I have been, and now I'm like, nom, 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 nom. And now I eat all this cheese. So when they handed the present for us, both me and the man, he opens his, and he loves chess, and he got chess. And I got a manga, which is very funny, because these two of this other couple, couple A, I'm going to call them.
Couple A!
They're kind of Wonder Bread. They don't listen to the show, so I'm not that worried about it. Even if they do, they understand. So, they all look at me, and I've never seen the manga before, so I'm like, oh, yes, I have something cool and awesome to review on the show. And they go, yeah, well, it was covered in plastic, and, you know, you see all these panties on the front of it, so we thought it was hentai,
yeah.
So we knew you were going to love it. So, I read the back... Because
yeah.
I'm one of the manga aficionados, so I'm like, let me read the back and let me see if this is actually hentai.
Right.
Because they said, oh, we found it in the back of the, you know, the store, and it kind of seemed by itself. There were no others, so maybe it was like a fluke that it got shipped here to America. So, by the back, it does look like it would be a hentai. But, as any manga and anime person would know, fan service is normal. and in fact, so common that most hentais don't even tend to have fan service because you're naked anyway.
Right.
So, I wait to get home before I read it because I know for a fact it's not hentai. But I didn't want to tell them that because I knew they wanted to give me hentai so bad.
They wanted to give the gift of porn.
So I pretended like it was hentai just to keep their spirits up.
You're a sweetie.
I am.
I would have told them bitches, this ain't got no nudities in it.
No, there's no nudities. But it was really funny because shortly after I came home and began to read this, one of my other friends actually sent me hentai. So, I still got hentai for Christmas.
Aww.
It's a gift that keeps giving.
Yes. And giving.
Orgasms. anyway, so.
Really? You orgasm off of hentai?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't
anyway.
Believe that you agreed to that.
Yeah,
to that.
It's true. I don't care.
Okay. I'm going to make sure that Eshmom definitely listens to this episode.
So the manga is actually called Ichigo 100%, or in English, because Ichigo means strawberry, Strawberry 100%. Here's your premise. You've got your main character. He's a guy. His name is Junpei.
He
one day is at his middle school, because it starts in the middle school and you see him chronicle through high school.
Okay.
And he runs upstairs to the top of the school, which is really funny because in real life here in America, we're not allowed on the roof of buildings because they think we're going to jump off.
Right.
So.
Or blow up the building.
But then again, in Japan, they have a lot of fences up there. So even if you want, you'd have to get on the other side of the fence to jump. And hopefully by then, they've caught you.
Anyway, on the roof of the building.
On the roof of the building, he sees this girl and he kind of falls. And, you know, and it's fan service. So he sees up her skirt and he sees that she's wearing strawberry panties. And, you know, she's all nervous and she runs away. And he's declared in his mind that he has found the woman for him. He is madly in love with this woman who wears strawberry panties.
Just because she has strawberry panties on.
Yes. So now he's like, I need to meet who this girl is. I need to know who she is. I am so in love with her and her panties that I must know. And, of course, his friends are like, dude, it's got to be the hottest chick in the school. But she says no to every dude, like, ever who asks her out. So, like, you're not going to really get... You know, that.
Right.
But I guess you could try anyway. And he tries. And, you know, obviously if you actually look at the picture of the girl that he sees versus the girl who his friends think it is, obviously they're totally different because, you know, the girl he sees has black hair and the girl who's the most popular girl in school has blonde hair. But whatever, for the sake of the story...
The girl with the strawberry panties
dyed her hair.
Okay.
And he gets all this courage up, and he's ready to confess to her, and while they're at gym class, he asks the most popular girl out. And to everybody's surprises, she says yes. Which, as we know in real life, never actually happens.
Never, ever, ever happens.
Nope, she says no in real life, guys.
Yeah.
And you don't need us to tell you, because I'm sure you've had this experience in your life, minus the
But if you're
shot.
Also trying to get up the courage, and we're not trying to say that you're not hot, what we're saying is, typically, the most popular girl in school is a bitch.
Yeah, and she's probably dating the most popular guy, or at least giving him head in the bathroom.
And or fucking one of the teachers, because they're...
Or multiple teachers and some of the football team.
So, don't feel bad when the bitch tells
you
no.
That's right. But like I said, to the amazement and in the anime world, yeses actually happen. And a yes happens here, and he's like, holy crap. Well, don't you know... He befriends a bookworm who likes to write novels.
Who wears strawberry panties?
Who, he finds out, does in fact wear the strawberry panties. But, because his luck is so fortunate, he does not break up with the most popular girl in school. Which I don't blame the fucker, because in real life, like I said, this doesn't happen.
Right.
But now he's conflicted because the girl that he loves is not the girl that he's dating. Ha! Who fucking knew?
You did, because you were reading the manga.
That's right, I do. But that's not all that happens in the story. Because not only is he now dating the most popular girl in school, has a really close friend that he is in love with, a girl transfers from America. Who knew? Because there's always a foreigner. She comes to the school with a big attitude and loves the big, dorky, indecisive, impulsive kind of guy and pretty much instantly falls in love with Junpei. Then he's got the childhood friend who lives in, like, Osaka, who comes to this city and is trying to get into the school, and she also has a thing. So now you got a harem going on, and we already know that I'm a big fan of harems, reverse harems, you name it, I love it.
She likes it when there's lots of people involved.
I love it when there's lots of women, and I love it when there's lots of men.
She likes the orgies.
Some girls dance with women.
Oh, that song was so bad.
It was horrible. I made a horrible joke, I'm sorry, I guess. But anyway, so he's trying to figure out which girl he's really going to pursue, because he's kind of got them all dangling. Like, one girl, you know, he breaks up with the most popular girl in school because she realizes that he really likes the bookworm. The bookworm really likes him, too, but, you know, doesn't think she can compete with the most popular girl in school. The very aggressive one pretty much likes to rip off her clothes anytime he's around, which, I guess, for the moe style is kind of common. Right. And the best friend hasn't really, the childhood friend really hasn't realized that she likes him yet, but as a reader, you totally know.
Yeah, but that's always the dynamic that they set up is, oh, my best friend, we've been friends forever, and I don't realize that she's in love with me, and I'm in love with her, until I get with somebody else.
And then I realize
everybody's jealous, oh, and I don't know why. Oh, conflict.
Oh, God, let's brood about it for several different manga.
Tear. I'll save you with my love. And then you'll realize you'll love me and we'll love each other forever.
Oh, that's such crap.
Or we'll just fuck
But I other. Read it.
Over
so,
and over again.
I do. It's sad. I
As
don't know why.
The manga that I'm looking at in your room right now.
Okay.
Shows.
You know what? Actually, the Wallflower is a reverse harem and that was awesome. That wasn't at all. Like, it's not like any, it's not like Fushigi Yugi. Alright, it is like the Gentleman's Alliance. Okay. And, yeah, it's like W. Juliet. Okay, damn it, so I like harems! So Strawberry...
Busted!
So Strawberry 100, if you're a harem lover like me...
Oh, big time harem lover.
Yeah, you're gonna like this. The style is actually really funny because it's not like most anime styles that you find in manga, or manga styles. It's actually more like the mangas that come out of, like, Korea. Which is really nice and it's refreshing for a reader.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome. And, just a little aside, a completely different topic, but I'd like to talk a little bit about the hentai that I got to, that I got
Oh,
for
why
Christmas.
Don't you go ahead and give the gift of porn?
You know, I'm going to give the gift of porn after this holiday season, because you can just keep using it. It doesn't go out of style. So, yeah, if you haven't figured it out, I partake in porn. Of the animated nature. And humans. I like humans. I like humans too.
I like to watch humans do it, and I also like to watch
cartoons do it.
Cartoons do it.
And,
this is an awful episode of podcast. This is the awfulest podcast to air at this time of year. Not ever.
Just
We've
right
already
now.
Done the worst podcast ever. This is the worst one to do, literally,
right
after
Christmas.
The holiday.
Anyway... So, the hentai is called Moonlight Lady, and...
Oh, no.
And it's got to do with a moon festival, so uh-huh. There's some parties,
uh-huh.
And there's these twins.
Oh, shit.
And, well...
Please
see,
tell me that they don't fuck each other.
No, well, there's only 6 episodes, and I've only seen 1 through 5, so I haven't seen the last episode yet. But, the oldest twin, her name is Mizuna, and... When she was born, they're like, oh, we're going to put you in training to be a priestess. You're not allowed to talk. You have to bathe in ice-cold waterfall water. And you have to be happy about it. And she doesn't complain. She gets talked. She gets dropped into a cave with waters. She's tied up to a giant rock. And that's how she lives. And she doesn't learn how to speak because you're not supposed to speak. And just does it because it's the family thing to do.
Right.
And then,
yeah, that's not a family business I'd really want to, like, be a part of.
But then, the youngest daughter, her name is, I have this over in the other place. Let me look it over here.
And this is why you should always be prepared.
And then her twin sister, Suzuna, is the younger twin. And she gets sent off to live an average normal life with the family, the Karaki family. However, she starts to exhibit signs that she is actually the one who is meant to be the priestess of this matriarchal shrine priestess family thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they go, oh, well, since you're supposed to be the real the real priestess. We're just going to keep your sister in that cave and not really tell you what happens to her. And you're not going to go near that cave. And you're going to perform this ceremony. Oh yeah, by the way, instead of going completely deaf and speechless and dousing in water all the time, you need to stay abstinent, but we got to get you married. So we're going to go find you a husband.
So wait, I'm confused. So she's the one that's supposed to be the priestess?
And they changed the rules on her. Yeah.
So rather than put her in the cave and put her through the stuff and take the one that's being tormented out?
They leave her in there, they put her further back, and yeah. They pretty much just cast off and say, well, we've already tied you to this rock. We're not going to let you out. And because she can't speak, she just smiles and takes it like a bitch, which really kind of sucks for Mizuna. But okay, we'll let that go. So as the family goes off to find Suzuna, her proper husband, or a male in the family who's in her age range, so it's not nearly as gross.
Incest is wrong!
Several cousins later, they find Kohi. And he accepts, and they get married. And Suzuna's like, fuck no. I don't want to marry him. I don't know who he is. You know, and he's all like, well, I would be a kind and proper husband. I will treat you right once I'm out of high school. Yes! They're in high school, and they're like freshmen. So they're like 14 years old, which is gross. But for hentai, they're supposed to be 18, and if it ever comes over here to the U.S., they will make them 18.
Right.
But for the purposes of Japan, they're 14! Maybe even 15.
Kinky fuckers. All right.
They are. So, you know, so Mizuna's like, fuck this, fuck that, I'm not gonna be a, you know, I'm
you
not...
mean Suzuna.
Yeah, my bad. Mizuna's the quiet one. Suzuna is, you know, raising holy priestess hell, doesn't accept her husband, doesn't want anything to do with him, but then she starts to grow attached.
And it's like, wait, physically attached or like emotionally
attached?
No,
emotionally attached.
Well, we're talking about hentai.
There's no fucking yet.
Okay.
By these two.
Right.
So, you find out later that Kohi is supposed to be the true heir to this priestess, because he's got this power.
Is it love power?
Oh, it's a power. He's the reincarnation of one of the most powerful men in this Karaki line. And the spirit is so powerful that sometimes he takes over Kohi and he just fucks things.
I'm sorry, wait, what?
Yeah. Like, he fucks Suzuna's mom.
What?
Twice. He fucks a maid. And this maid is actually best friends with Suzuna and has been a childhood friend for years, and she's actually in love with Suzuna, and that's why she went to the family, because she wanted to be as close. And this maid fucks Suzuna Kohi also.
Wait.
She's a very horny maid.
Time out. He's a maid?
No. Kohi is the husband.
Right, and he fucks the maid.
And he fucks the maid, Tomoe.
Okay. And the maid fucks...
everybody. Essentially.
Oh,
this is
God.
One horny maid. Jesus. Like, in one night, she fucks... Kohi more or less goes, you know, demon-y, rapes her in the garden.
Demon rape is not wrong!
Not that she's really against it, because...
I don't care!
She likes sex so much.
Astral sex is not
she
right.
Is this Tomoe, this maid loves sex so much that afterwards she's like, I need more. So then she goes to Suzuna... and fuck Suzuna, who's been waiting for Kohi to come home.
Well, then I guess she's not abstinent then,
and
now
then,
is she?
No. But she hasn't fucked Kohi, and the abstinence, I guess, only works for your husband. And then after Tomoe's done fucking Suzuna, she then goes to Ayo, who's this little boy who looks really effeminate. And he really likes manga, and he's an otaku, and he always eyes the maids. But he's like 11.
So he doesn't fuck him.
He's
does
maybe
she?
He's all right. Maybe he's 12 because his balls. Maybe 13 because his balls have dropped.
And we know this because
well, he gets really erect and stuff with the maids. So I'm assuming he gets wet dreams. I don't know. That might be in episode 6. But after Suzuna, she's still not fulfilled, and she goes to Ayo, and first she just sucks him off, and he comes in her face really quick because he's a little boy and he doesn't understand.
This is wrong. But then, this is really, really wrong.
And the whole time she's like, but I noticed the way that you look at me. Don't you want me? And he's like, you know, he's 13. What the fuck is
that
he supposed
is
to
wrong.
Say?
Ew.
But then he fucks her, and then he fucks her in the ass, and then they both come, and then they fall asleep. This is wrong.
This but is wrong.
There's another.
Where do you find this shit?
Well, this was given to me as a present. So, and then there's this other maid who, her name is, they call her Yuki for short. And sadly,
is
she was.
Is she Yuki?
No. Listen. So, Yuki wasn't always a Karaki family maid. In fact, she used to be a teen idol. But,
oh, you see, here we go.
During one of Kohei's possessed fits, he declared that he wanted this idol for himself. And only for him, and the other maids and people of his family. And the secret service of the Karaki family pretty much go, and they get her. And he puts her in a maid outfit, and he fucks her on a pool table. Mind you, she's a virgin because there's blood afterwards, and she's kind
of... Oh, this is disgusting!
And she's kind of, you know, out of it, because it's rape.
This
and then Tomoe takes her and is like, I'm so sorry that they did this to you. Let me help you suppress your feelings by having... I'll make sweet passionate rape to you.
You can't so make sweet passionate rape to people.
And she...
There's no way to sweetly and gently rape someone.
No, but she does. And then Yuki is pretty much okay with the fact that she's been raped and has suppressed all the bad memories of the rape and becomes a happy family maid or totally forgets that she's been raped at all. And, yeah. But, see, here's this little turn because Kohei one day going by the pond where, you know, Suzuna's supposed to be bathing to cleanse herself because she's supposed to be a virgin, but she's not!
Yeah.
He meets Mizuna.
Oh, who shit.
Exhibits more traits of a Shinto priestess than his wife does. And he doesn't fuck her at all. Which is really funny, because she's actually the only virgin so far in this whole series. You know, and because she can't talk and she seems kind of retarded and she's kind of trapped in this, you know, he plays ball with her because she's got this ball thing. You know, and he talks to her in the cave and she tries to talk to him, but she can't because she was never taught the language.
Uh-huh.
And in the back of Kohei's mind, when he's Kohei, he wants Mizuna over Suzuna. Although he hasn't fully admitted that yet in episode 5. But you totally know it. And Suzuna figures out that she's got an older sister, and then realizes that she really loves Kohei, and wants to be a true wife to him, and then she fucks him. She fucks him so good, guys! It's a great 30-second sequence. It's hot, it's steamy, and by God, I could watch it on repeat for hours. And,
ew.
And
ew.
I did.
Just, no.
And,
no.
I can't tell you how the story ends, because I haven't seen episode 6 yet. I'm still waiting for that. But, if you're looking for some holiday cheer, check out...
Is that what the kids are calling it now?
Moonlight cheer? Hell fucking yeah.
Oh, okay.
Check out... And if you like your porn animated, then, you know, check out Moonlight Lady. If you don't, you can always check out College Cruelty if you're into bondage and,
No.
I'm just, you know...
No.
Holiday bondage, ho-ho-ho.
No.
Santa's
no, no,
help.
No. No, no, no.
Anyway, that's all I have to talk to you.
Just say no to cartoon porn.
There's nothing wrong with cartoon porn.
There are no pixels raped in this episode of the podcast.
Well, we don't have pixels to rape.
We do have pixels to rape. We just refuse to rape them. Don't rape the pixels!
All right, I won't rape the pixels. But that's all I have to say about those two things. So if you want something that's fan service-y without any sex, Strawberry 100%. If you're looking for some rape and some priestesses... And horny-ass fucking maids. Check out Moonlight Lady.
Jeez.
I'm done now.
Obviously.
I'm done. Pass me a towel.
Oh, ew. Seriously.
What?
Ew.
What?
Don't say that shit when I'm sitting next to you. That shit's not right.
Obviously, I'm not doing anything. You're well, right. You're in
I
my
know,
room.
I know, but still, you shouldn't say that. It makes me very uncomfortable.
I'm sorry.
With that... I'm going to remind you guys, hit us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Use the hit us up link and you can chat back and forth with us, ask us questions, comment on any of the stuff that we've talked about or on any of the stuff that we've written about on the site. We do get those emails. We love to see them. If you have questions, definitely shoot them at us because we love answering those. You can also use the short address, which is...
ESH.MOBI. That's ESH.MOBI. Like she said, the short address will bunch into the long one. You can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, or just questions in general, like she said, use the hit us up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there first. You can put us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and if you're one of the cool kids, you're probably listening to us on the All Games Network.
You can catch our show airing on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, Monday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time, and definitely listen to some of the other amazing program that's available on the radio network over there, like Super Happy Fun Time Show,
Dead Pixel Live,
Ultimate Quest,
Super Happy Fun Time Show,
AGI, old episodes, hopefully, maybe at some point in time it'll get reincarnated and do some other stuff.
And be a beautiful phoenix! But we don't know anything.
No, we don't. And you can also listen to Bobby Blackwolf's show as well as Evil Avatar.
And he's also got a new show.
So, like I said, there's a lot of great entertainment over there. So definitely check it out and tell him that the chicks from the Sisterhood sent you.
Yay, yay!
So with that, I'm very happy to say that this podcast is toast.
Why?
Because I feel like I need to go to church and confess.
Well, tomorrow's Sunday.
So it would be apt time.
Yeah.
So what are you doing with your toast?
I can't tell you.
Oh, dear God.
I'm just kidding, you guys. I don't rape toast. I eat toast.
Toast rape is wrong!
I'm gonna put some butter on it, and,
don't rape it!
I'm gonna eat it. Because that's what you do with toast. That's what you do with toast! You eat it!
Yes. Yes, you do.
What are you gonna do with your toast?
I'm just going to crumble it up on a salad and eat it.
So you're still eating it.
I am. But I wasn't talking about hentai gangbang rape.
No gangbang.
Yet. You still maid. Have an episode.
Maid rape.
Maid rape.
Maid rape.
Stop it.
Sorry.
That's wrong.
Sorry.
I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We are out of here, people.
Bye, guys. Happy New Year.